by Carol Royce, Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to higherprice.com. That's higherprice.com.
Hey, every morning at 9 o'clock, we dive into social media. At Twitter, Bickley_Murata is where you can find all the happenings. Normally, Sarah takes us through it. She's not here today. So, Jared Carlin.
Yes.
Another plate spinning.
Here I am.
Jared Carlin.
Here I am again.
Yes.
Follow us, please. Bickley_Murata. We're the most interactive show in all of sports radio.
All the land.
And you can...
Has that been proven, by the way?
This is unscientific.
It hasn't been unproven.
We can
tell you that much.
I dare you to try to not
disprove that.
The first question here, sort of building on the conversation we were just having. Cardinals fans, what can the team do during the final five games to give you confidence in the regime going forward?
I got two answers. Mostly, win more than, go over 500. Win three of these last five. Prove you can have a stretch like that. If it can't be that, string together two wins in a row. They haven't done that all year either. I mean, it's a pretty low bar for me right now.
I got to tell you, nothing team-wise, but if Kyler Murray can play like the Kyler Murray of the 7-0 start Kyler Murray, that would give me encouragement going into 2023.
Jared, in writing that question, you used the word regime. Do you mean everybody?
I meant everybody. I didn't want to specific. So, front office, coaching staff, and players, sort of everything involved with the team now.
Which is the way we both kind of answered
this. Yes, and lots and lots of dozens of responses from noted sports journalists to famous rock musicians have all responded with nothing. The team could do nothing, and they want wholesale changes on the coaching staff, on the front office, and maybe in some players. But we did have a few. The Dark Shaman, or Shaman, said if the Cardinals win 4 out of 5 of these games, they will have my trust for next season. The rest of these games are against average teams, and they should be able to beat some of them.
Half the roster will be different next year.
Yes.
Maybe not half, but you know what I mean.
They have 23 free agents.
Yeah.
23 free agents. Use this time to see what you have in them and which ones you want to re-sign. AZ Homegrown says they just want to win. Offensively run the ball and get Kyler Murray in rhythm. And let's see what we have with Hollywood and D-Hop in this offense.
And then you have the different polls of these answers. Like Roger says, go 5-0. Adam says, tank for a high pick.
Yes.
The word fire was used a lot in this thread.
Yeah, a lot of nothing and a lot of fire.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, I don't think we're seeing as much of the we want to tank, we want to get a high pick, don't win these games, just because I don't think we will have a lot of trust in the front office to do something with those draft picks.
That's a great point. You have not heard a lot of, I'd rather just lose and get a high pick.
Yeah, usually, people are looking at the tankathon draft.
Thanks for nothing.
In the mock worlds, exactly. All right, Aaron Judge got a big contract, 9 years, $360 million, the largest free agent contract of all time, I believe it said. And it is the highest per year salary for any position player in baseball history. This brings me to this question. Which Aaron will finish with the best career? Okay? Which Aaron will finish with the best career? Define it however you want. Aaron Judge, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Donald.
The Aaron Fox.
Not De'Aaron anymore.
Aaron Burr.
No, Aaron Burr.
I love this question, actually. This is a very, very good
A little
question.
More complicated than initially.
I will eliminate Aaron Judge because he has not accomplished as much as the other two have already.
So far.
But he's still going.
He does
have 9 more years.
American League record and win an MVP.
Yeah. Aaron Donald. Look, there's some speculation he might be. He might be riding off into the sunset. He might have done it last year. The way things are with the Rams, if he does it now, it doesn't apply. But if he plays a few more years, he'll probably go down as the greatest defensive player ever to play. Aaron Rodgers might get some debate on being the best quarterback ever, but my answer would be Donald.
Well, let's see. You go by rings. Donald has one.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers has one.
Judge has none.
None right now.
None, but he's only 30, so he's going to have
only 30. 30 was old earlier in the show.
Rodgers has what? Rodgers has three MVPs.
Yes.
Judge has one. Donald has none, but he has
three defensive player of the years.
But, like Vinny says, Donald could go down as one of the best defensive players of all time.
He already is. I think he could be the best.
Right. Rodgers is not going to go down as the best offensive player of all time.
Although there are people, as recently as a couple years ago, we're having him in the conversation as the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah, I was one of those people.
All right. So what's your judge, Tim?
Great question.
I mean, what's your vote, Tim?
I'm going to go Aaron Donald as well.
Aaron Donald. Okay. Very, very close results here. Leading right now, believe it or not, Aaron Rodgers. He's getting 36%. I'm going to have to do my own research on that to see if that's true. Aaron Donald, 34.3%. Aaron Judge, 29.7%. So pretty much in a dead heat, three-way heat there with time to vote. All right, finally, which ones do you want to do, the sports movie one or the crazy headline one last?
Go crazy headlines. We'll go sports movies later.
What is the craziest headline you've ever seen in the news? And this goes to how we started way back 3 hours ago when Vince read the headline off the news of a car that drove off a 200-foot cliff and nobody got injured.
Yes.
So anything spring to mind from you guys of a crazy headline you've seen?
I always go to the World Weekly News, which is not really a news thing, but my favorite headline of all time. And I remember standing in line at the grocery store reading this headline and laughing for about an hour. Two-headed man sings in stereo.
Funny. Tim, anything spring to mind?
No.
Let's go to the videotape here, then.
Let's go to the videotape.
Really. Benjamin Peterson, this headline. Florida man robs Wendy's with an alligator. That's always a good one. Kentucky man says former friends forced him to eat his beard over a lawnmower dispute. And there was apparently a video that went with it.
And these are real headlines.
These are real headlines.
Wow.
Women boards flight to find her seat assignment is in the plane's laboratory.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's funny. Jimbo, woman sued Kraft, not the owner of the Patriots, but the brand, for giving the wrong cooking instructions for mac and cheese. Very cobbler. And here's one that they actually included, the New York Post picture of a killer who was arrested, and the headline, headless body in topless bar.
I gotta add one more from Evan. Drunk Florida man tries to use taco as ID after his car catches fire at Taco Bell.
It's fair.
Yeah. These are all good. Well done.
Anyway, keep sending those, and stay tuned for later. We'll go through the unrealistic sports movies.
Due to Tim's irrational love of Trouble with the Curve. Coming up next, thanks, Jared. Social Studies every day at 9, @Bickley_Murata on Twitter. Our weekly NFL visit with Mark Schlereth is next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak-Chan Community Studios here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. NFL analyst Mark Schlereth talks football with Bickley and Murata. Brought to you by Earnhardt Ford and Chandler. Shop local. Shop EarnhardtFord.com.
Yep, Wednesday is 9:15. We talk football. Mark Schlereth, NFL on Fox, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, our sister station in Colorado. And Mark joins us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing well. We haven't had to talk about a Cardinals loss all week due to the bye. It's been fantastic. I want to keep it in the NFC West, though. This situation in San Francisco, to me, is pretty fascinating. Unfortunately, Jimmy Garoppolo goes down with a foot injury. They're turning to Mr. Irrelevant, who I believe Sunday, Mark, will make the first ever Mr. Irrelevant quarterback start in the history of the NFL, Brock Purdy. But he looked pretty good against Miami, and I don't think their ability to win games is marginalized too much with him because of the systems they have in place. Do you agree?
I do agree. They're not predicated on the quarterback going out and winning games for them. They just aren't. They have an unbelievably good defense. And what they did to Miami the other night, I mean, hanging 33 on them, but that defense, even after giving up the initial play of the game as a touchdown, That defense is, their front seven is ridiculous. To watch them on film, the depth they can get to second level, still close and make tackles and put you in second down and seven plus. I mean, it's remarkable what they do. They really are good. And they're not predicated on, hey, quarterback, go out and you do everything and control the game at the line of scrimmage. No, we're going to run the ball. We're going to set up our play action off our run. We're going to create explosives. We're going to throw it behind or just beyond the line of scrimmage. And our receiver's going to break tackles. Our tight ends are going to break tackles. We're going to create explosives, not only through design, but also through just toughness. We're basically going to out-tough you. And the quarterback's job in this system is not to win games. It's just to go out and not lose them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, that's really what it comes down to. Remember, they won an NFC playoff game having Jimmy Garoppolo throw it 8 times.
Yeah.
8. And they won. That's how they're constructed. That's how they're built. And as long as they stay on schedule, as long as they don't fall down by 14 points, they can win every game they play, even with their third string, not their second string, but their third string quarterback in Brock Purdy.
Mark, what do you think Sean McVay's plan is with Baker Mayfield? What's the idea there? What do you think he's thinking?
Well, the idea, I think it's a brilliant move by them. Brilliant football, probably mutually exclusive events, but I think it's a really good idea. I mean, think about the way they've constructed their football team. They've just kicked first-round draft choices to the curb. They don't have any. They don't have draft picks. They don't covet draft picks. So you look at Baker Mayfield, former number one, although, he has not performed. Now he's been kicked out or booted out of two organizations. But the bottom line is, hey, man, this is worth a flyer on a football rehab situation. Mm-hmm. And see if we can do that. And the fact is, we don't have draft picks anyhow because we give them all away. So, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. You spend $1 million, whatever, just find out, hey, does this guy have aptitude? Can he resurrect his career? Can he be, humble enough to understand that he's got work to do? And can he land here and give us a viable option? Right now as a backup, but eventually could he be a viable option as a starter? We don't know, but we're about to find out. And so I just think it's like, what are you going to get in a draft in the seventh round that's better than what you've got in Baker Mayfield potentially?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So why not? Why not take a flyer? Doesn't really cost you that much. So I think it's really, a really good move by the Rams.
Mark Schlereth joins us here on Bickley and Murata Mornings on Arizona Sports. The Dallas Cowboys have been in the news a lot. Obviously, they're having a good season. Their pursuit of Odell Beckham Jr. has been seemingly endless. Jerry Jones goes on the radio in Dallas yesterday and says, "I don't feel comfortable about the knee." I made the joke earlier this week, Mark, about, has Odell Beckham Jr. taken all of his recruiting visits yet? It seems like this story won't end, won't come to a conclusion. Do you think we see anything from OBJ before the end of the year in any uniform?
I don't think he can play. So, I mean, right now, I don't think he'll be available for anybody.
Yeah.
And even if he becomes available midway through, the football season, like, to me, what do you do from that, or midway through the playoffs, what do you do? Did he get 8 plays? 9 plays?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Odell Beckham Jr. coming off an ACL giving you 8-9 plays in a divisional playoff game or in a NFC championship game? Is that better than the 8 or 9 you're going to get from your third string receiver or your number three receiver?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a guy that doesn't know the offense. No, it's not. So, hey, listen, if you want to sign him and you want to stash him for next year,
yeah,
totally understand. Good for you. That's great. But signing him right now, is that more disruptive? Is it more of a hindrance than it is a help? I don't know the answer to that, but it certainly feels that way to me. And the fact that he has not worked out or he's refused to work out feels to me like he's not ready to work out. Because let's face it, in today's day and age, if you're good to work out, man, you're posting that crap on Instagram,
yep,
right? Like,
exactly.
I mean, hey, have you seen me? Look at me jump, or look at me, run fast, or whatever it is. you know, all the kids do nowadays. So, like, well, the kids, who am I kidding? I'm about ready to post an Instagram workout of myself because I'm yoked.
good stake, because the Cardinals could use an offensive lineman down the stretch here if you're up for it.
Well, let me just tell you this. I would not play in that. You couldn't pay me enough, even if I could play, to play in that god-awful system.
Well said. Mark Schlereth, our guest here on Arizona Sports. We got to ask the obligatory Denver Broncos question, because it never gets better with the Broncos and Russell Wilson. They scored 9 points in a loss last week. The heat on Hackett is real. But, I mean, how much widespread change do you expect? Do you expect a coaching change at this point, Mark?
Oh, I think as soon as the season ends, there will be a coaching change. I wouldn't be surprised if the general manager gets dumped as well.
Wow.
And, like, what do you do with Russell?
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing. You might be stuck.
Yeah. Do you go completely nuclear on him and just get rid of everybody and just know that, hey, man, you know, we're going to have to bite the, you know, we're going to have to bite it and just live with it and rebuild this thing in a couple of years after we get rid of the huge dead cap money hits, then it becomes manageable. And if you can find yourself a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, then, you know, your quarterback room, even though you're still paying Russell, your quarterback room, you know, from a cap standpoint becomes manageable if you're on a rookie contract. So, like, I don't know what the answer is to that. I would say 100% the head coach gets fired and his staff gets fired. I would say, you know, probably 50-50 on the general manager getting fired. And then I would say probably a 10% chance of them dumping Russ, too. So, I mean, they could go completely nuclear. It is, I mean, it's about as bad as it could get. I mean, and the tone deafness from Russ is one of the things that bothers me. Like, this is the ultimate team game, and I love sports. I love the fact that, like, where else in the world do you see people celebrate other people's success like it was their own?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I love about sports, you know? I mean, I started playing in seventh grade. So 2 years there, 4 years of high school. I redshirted, so I played 5 years of college football, played 12 years in the NFL, never scored a touchdown, but celebrated every one of them like I did.
Yeah.
The sports are beautiful. They're beautiful. And you're going to get a whole group of guys, a whole group of coaches fired, and you're still going, hey, look at my cleats for a cause. Look at, you can bid on them over here, and look at my number three hats. Let's ride. Like, dude, you're getting, your play is going to get 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 people fired. And your tone deafness to that is alarming to me. It really irritates me.
Yeah, let's just say we're really looking forward to that Broncos-Cardinals game coming up in a couple weeks, Mark.
Oh my! I am so glad. I was on penitent knee, hoping not to have to call that game. I'm not calling that game.
You avoided it.
I think I've got the blind sisters of the poor versus somebody else, and I couldn't be happier about it. Yeah.
And by the way, this is a product of the everybody gets a trophy generation when these kids were little.
Yeah, that's your fault. You gave them the trophies. Us kids, we didn't take the trophies ourselves.
Hey, now my kids didn't get no trophies.
Great stuff, as always, Mark. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, later, guys.
Thanks, Mark Schlereth, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, NFL on Fox. Avoiding the Broncos-Cardinals game. Oh, and happy about it. He joins us every Wednesday to talk NFL. Every day this week, listen to Wolf and Luke for the Pantera call-out. Once you hear Wolf do that call-out, dial 602-260-9870. That is your chance to win tickets to see Metallica with Pantera at State Farm Stadium on September 1st. Coming up next, guess who's back? We'll get into it straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings with Tim Ring in for Bick today here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Shazam!
Sunday brought to you by Coco 5.
Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
The choice of the music, Jarrett, I see what you're doing.
Thank you.
I see what you're spinning back there. Guess who's back? Back again. Chris B. Haynes. Phoenix Suns star.
Krispy Kreme.
After 1 month and 14 games,
Chris Paul back tonight. Chris B. Haynes writing, barring a setback, Paul intends to make his return tonight against the Boston Celtics after being sidelined for a month with a heel injury. League sources tell NBA on TNT and Bleacher Report.
Krispy Kreme broke the story? What'd you say?
Yeah. Delicious. What a tasty treat.
All right. He's back, baby. Let's roll.
Yeah.
You've been calling that the last couple days.
That I
this
have.
Is the, this
Tim
is the
has.
Date.
Yeah.
I have. All right. It's go time.
And again, we don't know if this was something that was preordained. You know, the Phoenix Suns, like everybody else, every other team on planet Earth now these days is very, very hush-hush when it comes to injury information or returns. A couple days ago, he claimed he didn't know anything, which, again, he's the head coach.
Maybe it was. I just read a whole lot of tea leaves that, especially given what happened on Monday night, the time was right for Chris Paul to get back.
We don't even really know what the injury was.
Heel soreness. At one point during this absence, Monty said, well, that's what we're calling it. But basically said, you don't know the severity of the injury. I hope it wasn't anything that serious.
Lower body. Let's go NHL. Let's go hockey on this.
Somewhere on his purse, and he's got an owie.
He's got a body injury.
But so Chris Paul comes back after missing 14 straight games. It does coincide with a game that's got some eyeballs on it tonight. Nationally televised game. The leaders of the East. The leaders of the West. You get more of these matchups now because the parity that exists in the NBA creates more of these high-profile matchups, which I'm all for. And the point you brought up earlier, Tim, and there might be some credence to this too, and that is coming off of a game where the Suns played their ugliest basketball of the year and got it handed to them by their nemesis right now, maybe there was a little bit extra push and impetus to get Chris Paul back on the floor to get this thing rolling again.
Yeah, or just the time is now. And maybe Chris Paul's been feeling pretty good the last few days. But, you know, the Suns have been playing well without him. Let's try to get this thing as healed up and rested as possible. Chris Paul's 37 years of age. Let's get him as much rest as possible. And we'll get him back out there when we need him. Mm-hmm. And after Monday night, guess what? We need him. I mean, not only the Celtics are in town tonight. You're going on the road. You got to face a really good Pelicans team. Then you got to face that Pelicans team again. Chris Paul missed a month, 14 games. Vinny, 14 games is 18% of the regular season. Mm-hmm. That's a good chunk. It's a good chunk. It's time now to get Paul back. And remember, he's not just going to jump in and probably play 35 minutes, score 18 points, and dish out 12 assists. It'd be great if he did.
Write
if
he gets it.
Yeah, if he gets it. You were wrong, Tim Ring.
He only played 28 minutes.
You know not of which you speak. But let's be realistic about expectations tonight. But like we talked about with Al McCoy, I think the emotional lift of having your point guard and your future Hall of Famer and one of your leaders back on the court tonight as you embark on a pretty tough stretch, I think is going to be immeasurable and huge for the Phoenix Suns tonight, especially after taking one on the chin 48 hours ago in Dallas. I think there's something that can be said for that going up against right now the best team in the NBA, record-wise, the Boston Celtics.
And how does the playing time allotted to Chris Paul in this return trickles down? Obviously, Chris Paul's going to start. He starts when he's available. Cameron Payne back to the bench. That's a boost for the bench, who had struggled at times, and Al really harped on the bench. You know, you have to expect inconsistency. I'm wondering what happens now with that backup two position. Does Monty Williams stick with Landry Shamet? Or what we've seen from Josh Okogie lately, does that give him more time? He's been fantastic in the last couple games. Now, he's not the biggest offensive threat in the world, but how many possessions did he keep alive with offensive rebounds or tipping the ball to a teammate, putting up stat lines? You know, he's a pest defensively. Landry Shamet, for the most part, has struggled again this year.
It's a feel for the game type thing with Monty, I think. It depends on what your needs are at that particular time.
But he is also loyal to some people, some players more than others, and Landry Shamet appears to be on his loyalty list.
Think of it this way. If Campaign's back on the bench now and Campaign is giving you some scoring punch that you didn't have before, that might afford you the opportunity to give Okogie some more minutes as well because he does so many other things.
And I think he's earned them.
Don't forget Damian Lee also.
Well, Damian Lee would get more minutes at the three when he comes in, but a smaller lineup.
Well, his minutes aren't going anywhere. I mean, no, he's obviously their big gun off the bench.
He's been their best bench player all year.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Indisputable.
Mm-hmm.
And now Campaign goes back into that role as well as a guy who can be a co-host to Damian Lee off the bench when it comes to putting the ball in the basket. So that's a good thing. Like, this is a good thing. Now, Okogie or Landry Shamet. Shamet can rise up and knock down a three. He certainly attempts it a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. Doesn't always go in. That's the issue there with Shamet. I mean, if he's knocking down threes, he's going to be an asset for you.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not, he's not. So that's why I say Monty's got to get a feel for the game.
Well, and Shamet, too, when he was given those bench minutes in Chris Paul's absence, was a lot of primary ball handling minutes, which is, I know he played point guard at Wichita State in college. I don't think it's his forte.
Yeah. Also, remember, the Celtics are one of the best three-point shooting teams in the NBA.
They are the best.
The best.
Yes.
Go ahead, crown them.
You can crown them.
You want to crown them, Vinny? Crown them. You can crown them at this point.
Most attempts per game per team and highest percentage.
So there might be an opportunity for a guy like Okogie to go out there and dog some people mm-hmm. on the perimeter defensively. So, you know, again, let's see how the game goes, and then Monty makes the right call who gets those minutes. But, again, big picture, Chris Paul back, this is good. Chris Paul, when he was healthy, wasn't scoring all that much. So, again,
his high game this year is 16 points.
Think about that. He's not even averaging 10 points a game.
No.
He was a distributor, a facilitator.
And Cameron Payne, in his absence as a starter, 15.7 assists per game.
I expect 30 out of Chris Paul tonight. If he has anything less, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to shred him on the radio tomorrow morning.
Text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620. Right now, coming up, some final thoughts on the Wednesday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings with Tim Ring in for Bick, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
Once upon a time, we had a discussion on this show about universally loved songs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this came up. I think everybody loves this song. This song's like 26 years old. 27, 26 years old.
It's hard not to like it.
Never get sick of it.
But what would you not like about it?
It's got
How
everything.
Could you not like it?
Listen to that bass line. It's awesome. Can you name another song by Mark Morrison?
I cannot.
I can, but only because I've got the album pulled up.
Jim Morrison's brother, right?
Well, we were talking about maybe playing a Doors song because you were walking around the studios here singing Doors songs.
I was singing Doors, yeah.
Probably from Mustache yesterday. I played a Doors song.
Probably.
That's probably why.
We're playing this in honor of Chris Paul. Because he will be back. The return tonight after 14 games away with the heel injury. Chris Paul will be on the floor for the Phoenix Suns tonight against the Boston Celtics in a game you can hear right here. 8 o'clock, 7:30 pregame on the Arizona Sports app and 98.7. That's today's song of the day. Mark Morrison, Return of the Mac.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
All right. Leading into the discussion we were going to have left over from social studies.
Yes.
I have a sports movie-related Vinny Joe trivia question for you today.
Okay.
And it has to do with an unrealistic plot line.
Love it.
Your question is, in a 1979 made-for-TV movie, 11-year-old Gary Coleman is a fan of and becomes the manager of what Major League Baseball team?
The San Diego Padres.
The name of the movie is The Kid from Left Field, and the San Diego Padres is the correct answer.
Thank you very much.
You saw the movie?
Of course. Of course.
You ever see that one, Jarrett?
No, I've never. I've seen like the 90s version of that movie, which was Little Big League, where a guy becomes the manager.
Little Big League was a masterpiece compared to The Kid from Left Field.
In the 70s, there was nobody bigger than Gary Coleman. Figuratively, of course.
Literally, there was millions of people bigger than Gary
Coleman. Was so big that they ripped off his sitcom, a carbon copy, with Webster.
Yes.
And just...
But
it also became a hit. That's how big he was.
And Emmanuel Lewis was also pretty well beloved.
Yes, he was.
But I remember Gary Coleman started on Harris Bank commercials. You should have a Harris Bank account. You should have a Humidal.
Really?
Yeah, see, I'm going
more
way back.
Trivia than me. Yeah.
What you talking about, Tim?
You talking about, Willis?
I met
what
Gary Coleman and interviewed him shortly before his death. All
really?
Due respect,
okay.
Rest in peace, Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
He was a strange, strange man.
Remember, he ran for governor of California in that Arnold Schwarzenegger year.
Yes.
That all had all the wacky people running.
That had, like, adult film stars running. Yeah.
Had to be tough being one of the biggest stars on the planet when you're, like, 7 years old.
Yes.
Well, I don't think he was as young as he played.
He was not as
even
young
on
as he
that
played,
show.
But he was still very young. Back to the question. It came up because...
God.
Tim got sidetracked on the career of actress Amy Adams and brought up the movie Trouble with the Curve, which is horrible if you've never seen it. So Jared asked a social studies question that we didn't get to. What sports movie was the most unrealistic and why?
Lots of actually funny answers and people taking it too literally, like Space Jam.
Well, yeah. Or like the movie Ed with Matt LeBlanc.
Yes, or Angels in the Outfield.
Yes.
Maybe I should have put a caveat, like supposed to be a realistic movie that was...
I mean, I got my answer.
What is it?
Rookie of the Year with the kid from American Pie.
Henry Rowan Gardner.
Yeah, like Henry Rowan Gardner's not going to have his arm sewed incorrectly.
Friend of the show.
He's going to be... Thomas E. Nicholas was on the show?
We had him on the show. Did we play Vinny Joe trivia?
We did. When the Cubs were in the World Series, we had him on.
Yeah.
Thomas E. Nicholas. Yes, yeah. He has a band now.
Yeah, I like the kid, but there's no way that's happening. A 12-year-old is not pitching for the Cubs. And Gary Busey is not, you know, pitching for the Cubs. Let's call that unrealistic as well.
My son, the Brandon Murata, says, The Fan. You saw The Fan with Robert De Niro and
Snipes?
He says, you're telling me they played a baseball game in the rain in the most poorly lit stadium ever? Poor lighting is a staple of bad sports movies. And I love the movie. You saw The Last Boy Scout?
No, Damon Wayans
and Bruce Willis?
I have not.
Oh, you should see it.
Okay.
Oh, the lighting in that movie, horrible. Any Given Sunday, horrible lighting in a lot of those football movies. Daylight Film says, Moneyball.
Yeah.
They literally never referenced the pitching staff that the A's had, which is...
Three Cy Young winners, or three Cy Young candidates.
That was actually... Right. It's like saying, Rudy, that's a true story.
Like, do we even know... Chad Bradford, I think, was the only pitcher they even mentioned in that movie.
And they also...
And I love the movie.
I'm pretty sure they also had Miguel Tejada, who won the MVP.
Yeah, that too. And Eric Chavez was basically not mentioned a whole bunch. Dark Shaman says, Happy Gilmore or The Waterboy? You're speaking my language.
Pretty unrealistic, yeah.
The Waterboy probably more realistic than...
There's not even such a thing as the Bourbon Bowl.
It's funny because...
Shut up, Brent.
Draft day. Draft day. But not for the reason he thinks. It's according to Paul, it's because the Browns don't make good quarterback decisions.
Let's see.
Air Bud. That dog would have just taken a dump on the court and laid down.
Henny Dykstra says, American Underdog, no way that all could happen, and tagged Kurt Warner in it. It all happened, Henny.
Apache Jedi Bear, Gus, for goodness sakes, he was a freaking mule.
Oyage. See, now I remember that movie.
I can't believe you haven't seen The Last Boy Scout.
I know. I'm going to go rent it at Blockbuster after the show.
We know what Shane Doan's answer would be. Miracle.
Yeah. Somebody did say miracle.
Yeah.
That something like that could never happen.
Wookie says, blue chips. We will never see a college coach do what Nolte's character did in front of the press like he did at the end.
That's, admit he was wrong.
That's the truth.
Yeah. It's all about money. Money. Just bleep damn money. I bought into it big time.
Let's see.
Happy.
Creed 2 from Scott Berger. Why was it made? Why was Creed made? Creed was an excellent
movie. You ever see the movie Youngblood?
Yes.
Rob Lowe?
Somebody says there Patrick was a Swayze. Hockey stick sword fight in it.
Oh, yeah. Basically. You remember that movie?
I don't remember it.
Remember when he faces off with Racky, the bully from the other team?
Yeah, kind of. We're going way back now. That's like 84, right?
I could talk about sports movies all day.
And here's a good one to close out on. E says, I, Tanya. But that actually did happen.
And
it was still the most unrealistic.
And an excellent movie. Have you seen I, Tanya?
I have.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Anyway, yeah, keep them coming.
Keep them coming. Because, you know, we could talk about movies this week.
Perfect.
Oh, that's going to do it for us on this Wednesday. Thanks to Al McCoy, Mark Schlereth for joining us. Thanks to you for hanging out as well. We'll do it again tomorrow morning at 6. Wolf and Luke are up next here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Get ready for a sweatpants Thursday tomorrow.
Love it.